protect its government networks from cyber attacks. At a news conference in Kiev, Jens Stoltenberg told journalists, "We are in the process of providing Ukraine with new equipment to some key government institutions." More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, with my co-host, Sean.
Whenever I hear co-host, I think kind of like co-pilot. Like, if something horrible happens to you, I have to, like, run over to your mic and just, like, take the reins on the show.
You wouldn't do that?
I think depending on the thing, I would probably call an ambulance or, you know.
Right.
The show must go on doesn't always take precedence.
I figured you'd climb under the table and hope Jared did something about it.
That's probably closer to the truth, frankly.
Right. But. All right. Well, first things first, we got a guest tonight, Crystal Hope Reed. Crystal Hope Reed. Yes.
Let's have a moment of appreciation for that name.
For that name. That is true. That is true. It must be nice to know. See, my name being Chauncey Allworth, I sign up for an email address. It's always open. Domain name, it's open. Crystal Hope Reed, you know, she probably has CrystalHopeReed at Gmail.
One would hope.
For all you spam fishers out there.
Oh, God.
She is a pet psychic.
Well.
Yeah. So she, you know, part of tonight's show is she has psychically connected with my dog, who has behavioral issues.
Such as?
He's very angry.
He's very angry.
He's a very angry little pup.
And he's not just picking up influence from the household around him.
What are you implying?
Nothing. Moving on.
All right. Do you have any pets, Sean?
I do not. Which is weird, because I'm, like, an animal lover. But, actually, maybe that's not so weird. Maybe I only connect with animals through, like, cat videos, and so I only see the good parts.
Or maybe you, pet them to death, like Lenny.
Well, we don't talk about that, but yes, I do.
Have you ever had a pet?
Well, I had a hamster.
You had a hamster.
Hardly counts.
Well, I think it counts.
Sort of. I don't think a pet psychic would have too much to do with a hamster, right? They are simple creatures.
Well, you know, I think you and I, we've had enough psychics and mediums on this show to
we've
the point.
We've had a bushel of them.
Yeah, to the point where we are, you know, open, at least, to the possibility that these psychics and these mediums have powers that are out there.
Well, I will say one thing. The other psychics and mediums we had on the show seemed very sincere.
Yeah.
You know, if nothing else, it's hard to imagine that they were trying to pull one over.
Well, I'm not saying that you have to publicly admit that you believe, but you're open to the idea.
Well, sure. Otherwise, why would I be doing the show?
All right. So here's what I'm setting up. You know, when I first thought of a pet psychic, you know, I kind of raised an eyebrow. I'm all like, I don't know. I don't know about the pet psychic. But then I thought about it, and here's what I came up with.
All right.
Scientifically, well, for one, I am open to the idea of psychics. So there's check one.
All right.
Part two is that scientifically, when it comes to consciousness, I don't believe that humans have consciousness and animals do not. I believe that consciousness was evolutionary and that all animals, most animals, I don't know about insects, you know, I don't know the answer, but I do believe that animals have varying degrees of consciousness.
Sure, I can get on board with that sentiment.
So, if I put together the fact that I believe in the possibility of psychics, and I believe that animals have varying degrees of consciousness...
Then it's just a short jump to pet psychic.
Then why not a pet psychic?
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying, and that makes a lot of sense.
And then when I put those two together, and, you know, and then an animal would probably have a simpler brain, so all the easier to get in there and sense some of those things. And then, you know, the way this pet psychic works is she gets a – we'll have her explain it a little better, but she gets an image of the animal, in this case my dog, Iggy, and she reaches out to the dog utilizing the image. And I had a couple of people sort of, you know, scoff at that. But my argument that I brought up to them is like, okay, but you believe that a medium communicates with the dead. And they say, yeah, that's possible, I guess. And I say, well, why is it easier for a medium to go out into the grand ethereal scheme of things and wade through all of life's existence and find your grandpa and bring them back to have them talk to you? Why is that any more believable than somebody using a photo to find a dog that's currently alive?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but that's how remote viewing and all that sort of thing is supposed to work, as I understand it.
Right.
When you go to military experiments on psychic powers, which are, you know, what in terms of psychic stuff, that's about as conclusive or hard as you can get, you know.
Right, but...
That's about how they do it.
You know, not to school you on the air there, Sean, but remote viewing is not psychic powers.
Well, all right. I think it seems similar.
No, remote viewing is reading the ripples of life.
Okay.
Anybody can be trained to do it. It's not a matter of having a psychic ability. It's a matter of chaos math and reading the ripples of life and...
I'm going to go on record and say that seems like an arbitrary distinction to me, but we're going to have a remote viewer on the show at some point, and we'll settle this.
Totally, totally. One should, you know, remote view in. We have an extra mic. They could remote view in and tell us.
Yeah, well, that would be something. That would convince me.
Right, right. So, you know, we ended up getting into talking about our pets so much and stuff like that that normally, if you haven't noticed, I like to bring up a touchy topic in order to deal with it at the beginning of our shows. But this time, I'm going to skip it.
Well,
I don't know. My touchy topic that I wanted to bring up was, you know, how do people feel about this Confederate flag situation? You know, it seems to be all over the place.
Speaking
and all
of pets.
These people getting upset about it, but let's take that to Facebook. I was hoping to have some time to discuss that, and we'll stick with talking about my dog Iggy. Iggy attacks. He is a Chihuahua Pomeranian, one quarter Pomeranian.
Yes,
and he attacks out of the blue.
You'll and a known supporter of Southern secession.
No.
The biggest behavioral problem. My dog is racist, guys.
Oh, man, I love that. That's heck of funny. No, but he's a little jerk. You know, he's
okay. Well, that's what I meant.
But we're going to find out more about him later in the show. But when we come back, we're going to have guest Crystal Hope Reed, and we're going to find out a little bit more about her, how she does it, and what she does on Radio Wasteland.
Can't wait.
Screaming tail. Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Redding's Electric Utility. Windows are the number one source of heat gain in your home. Installing solar screens, window treatments, or new low-E windows significantly reduces heat gain and reduces your summer air conditioning cost, putting money back in your pocket. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Abby, guess where we're having the Haven Humane Second Tuesday dining this month?
I'm hoping it might be Upper Crust Pizza because I could totally go for a slice right now.
You guessed it. This month's Second Tuesday dining will take place at Upper Crust Pizza. I love their pizzas, calzones, vegetarian options, and so much more.
Please join us at Upper Crust Pizza on Tuesday, July 11th from 5 to 9 p.m. as they generously donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society work towards being a no-kill shelter by 2021 and a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, heard Monday through Friday on KCNR AM and streaming live in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Tuesday, we welcome Redding attorney Douglas Wright with his view on the state of business in the state of California. Long-established companies closing or moving elsewhere are a daily event, and it's being blamed on the increasingly hostile regulatory environment. Also, after a 30-year run, Kids Unlimited might be taking to the stage for the last time. Tuesday, KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
It is hot. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. With our guest, Crystal Hope Reed. Do we have you there with us?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm very good. We're warm down here in L.A., but probably not as hot as you are up there in Redding.
Oh, yeah. Triple digits. It's very hot.
Yeah. My skin turned red like a lobster on the way from the car here. It's just steaming.
So can you tell us a little bit about how, let me introduce you again. We have our guest here with us, Crystal Hope Reed. She is an animal psychic. Can you tell us a little bit how you got started figuring out that you were an animal psychic?
You know, there are a lot of people who say, oh, my whole life I've been talking to animals and all this kind of thing. And I was not one of those people. I actually grew up very skeptical of psychic ability. I didn't believe in ghosts and all that. Well, I mean, I've changed a lot from personal experience, but just so you know, I'm not one of those quote-unquote natural-born psychics. What actually happened, I don't know up in Redding if you guys used to have an organization called the Learning Annex. Does that sound familiar?
Our producer is nodding his head yes, but I haven't heard of this. Maybe you can
explain
it to me.
I think it's the way Shasta High School is or was.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Okay. So people used to teach random little classes there, and about, I don't know, a little over 20 years ago, I was just bored one night, and the two-hour intro to animal communication class looked interesting, and I went somewhat skeptical, but with nothing else to do, so a little bit of an open mind, and I went and had a good experience with that. So that was my first experience with it. I came home and I was actually able to, in my mind, picture things and have my dog do what I was asking him to do without any verbal cues, without any hand signs, just imagining it in my mind. So that was sort of life-changing to me. I had to lift my skepticism a little bit. And then after that, for several years, I went through trainings with some masters and things like that. And so that's how it came into my life, was almost accidentally, except that, you know, some of us believe no such thing as coincidence totally, right? But, yeah, so that's how I got started.
And then you've also... A little bit off topic, but somewhat on topic, and I'm sure it had something to do with your development. You also wrote a book about your husband?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for the opportunity to bring that up. It's called How to Live with a Psychic. And as you've told everybody and we've been discussing, I do the animal psychic work, but my husband does other stuff like mediumship. You know, he can remove unwanted spirits and entities from a location. So, you know, that kind of work, for example. And that also wasn't something that he was doing actively when we got together. That sort of came on all at once for him. So so the book is sort of about, oh, when you're living with a relatively normal person and then all this stuff sort of comes crashing in on you, what are the changes you can expect? How do you talk to other people about it, you know, and that sort of thing. So that's what the book is about.
I see. So what was the timeline there? Were you already an animal psychic when you married him?
I actually had done, like I mentioned, the little personal work, like with my own dog and all that. I was already doing animal communication when I got to know my husband. But I wasn't doing it professionally. That didn't come on until later. It was more just a hobby and just a thing to be closer to my own animals in the beginning when I met him. It wasn't till we were together for a few years before his stuff started happening. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I can kick this up and take this to a professional level since I've been doing it so long just on a hobby level. Practicing, you know, for friends and friends of friends, that sort of thing. So we've sort of both enhanced each other's skills by being together, I guess, our abilities. But I think that happens actually a lot. Being around someone who's psychic naturally is going to bring out a little bit of your latent ability. So we've done that for each other.
Yeah, I think, I think the concept of the book is really interesting, because I think about my own marriage, and if I were to come home and tell my wife that I am now communicating with the dead or anything, you know, off the wall, which is a lot of the topics that we deal with, you know, if I was communicating with aliens from Alpha Centauri, her first thought would be that I need to get my medication adjusted, you know, and so I think that the idea of this book and writing about that, I think that that's really interesting, you know, and speaking of which, so as you and your husband, you know, your husband's situation kind of fits into this question too, as you guys sort of came out to the world, did you get a lot of pushback and guffaws from family members and friends?
Well, fortunately we live in LA, as I mentioned earlier.
So you're the normal ones. You're the normal ones. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Now, it is. So one of the things I mentioned in the book is that we used to work at a school together for many years. And so that's kind of a taboo place to talk about that sort of stuff. So our coworkers weren't aware of all the stuff we were doing on the side until... that school was taken over, and so it was closing down. And so then we sort of revealed ourselves more to our coworkers and everything. And depending on their background and their belief system, they either wholeheartedly embraced it and, in some cases, which was really fun, told us about their own experiences that they hadn't been sharing yet either, you know. Or other people were just respectful. It's like, well, I love you guys, so that's cool. Agree to disagree, you know, kind of thing. But we haven't gotten any, fortunately, in our lives, a lot of real pushback. But I actually know people who have, both in their, like, in their primary relationship with their spouse or partner, or just from family or whatever. And in fact, the last chapter of the book is stories from other people about how much grief they've gotten from their family and their communities over the years. And I wanted to share that with people just so they could really see the common thread between, really, it's just the acceptance. Like, even if you don't understand totally what someone's experience is, or maybe don't even accept that they're interpreting their experience 100% accurately, just, you know, to be respectful and loving of them anyway, because it can really cause problems in a relationship.
Well, I think that that's a general rule that people should probably apply across the world, you know. That's
absolutely
that's one thing that you know, in talking to people with a lot of the social issues that are going on in this world, and people were all, well, I just don't get it. I'm all, do you really need to? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares if you get it or not? You know, you don't need to get it.
Right.
You know, you just need to be
actually,
nice.
That's actually remarkable, because I was thinking as you were saying that, that's essentially the way people respond to LGBT people.
Right. And prior to gay people and prior to a lot of other belief systems, and really just the bottom line is, you know,
nice
who cares
people.
if you don't, as long as somebody's not hurting anybody, you know, they're not breaking any neural pathways in your cat by connecting with it, you know, you need to relax. And I agree.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
And so
I'll just say that there have been, like some of the reviews I get on Amazon and stuff, or people are reading the book who are not, don't actually have a psychic in their life, but they're just commenting similar to like what you're saying, like this just applies everywhere, you know, like a lot of the advice in the book just applies to relationships in general. So there's that too. So I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, because after the commercial break, we're going to come back and hopefully find out a little bit about my dog. But before we go to break, I wanted to know, obviously, when you communicate with an animal, it's not using words.
But it is.
Well, they're not using words.
Well... okay, so we could talk about that after the commercial, I guess.
Okay, let me take back, obviously.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just very curious, like, what are you, you know, when they, so when you receive the message, you are receiving it in words that you understand.
Yes. Part of the time. Okay, so I can explain this. Thank you. Some things I get in sentences, and sometimes some, and animals, like people, have different levels of verbal skill. So some animals use mostly what I call thought-feeling packages, right? They're sending an image with the feeling and the intention and all that kind of stuff, which is maybe what you were getting at. You
That's
know,
kind of how I
probably
imagined
a lot of their
going,
communication.
Yeah.
But some animals surprise me with very sophisticated vocabularies, and I don't know whether it's stuff they've picked up from being around very articulate people in life after life or something like that, but sometimes I'm actually laughing out loud by the sophistication of, like, actual vocabulary that's coming through with an animal. But, a lot of what you get is these images, feelings, maybe even a sensation in your own body that you learn to recognize is not your feeling, it's from them, they're trying to tell you this is where it hurts, or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they communicate with each other already anyway. So they're doing it all the time. They're sending it at us all the time. They're just waiting for us to open up and be able to figure out how to receive that they're sending to us.
Okay. Already. Well, I appreciate that. That was something I was very curious about. We're coming up on our commercial break here. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, animal psychic Crystal Hope Reed. And when we come back, we're going to find out what's up with my dog, Iggy.
Of myself is all I have to show for sale. It's reported vehicle collision repair technology is advancing faster than medicine. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster, is doing his part to provide the North Valley with the latest technology. He has added another frame machine using ultrasound computer measuring. Ultrasound can measure the frame and produce a printed document to verify any damage before repair is started. When repair is completed, an after document is printed for verification. Finally, wheel alignment is by our 3D imaging system. It produces the most accurate wheel alignment and also verifies frame accuracy, providing additional confidence for the vehicle owner. Three lasers, ultrasound measuring, infrared, 3D imaging. This sounds like NASA, but no, it's the best equipped collision repair shop in the North Valley. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
On the next Radio Wasteland, we're going to find out what exactly is wrong with Icky. I, like many of you, am a pet owner, and my dog has some, let's just say, behavioral problems. We welcome pet psychic Crystal Hope Reed to answer all of our questions about our beloved pets, and for me specifically, what exactly is wrong with my dog. Listen in to Radio Wasteland, Monday night at 6 p.m. on KCNR.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest, animal psychic Crystal Hope Reed. Crystal was nice enough let us use my dog as an example, and my dog was nice enough to have behavioral issues for us to for us to address. Now, don't get me wrong, I really kind of enjoy my dog's behavioral issues on some level because, you know, he's scrappy. And
that's fair.
I like him.
Can I butt in here? Okay.
Absolutely.
So that was when you first sent me the picture of that. That was sort of my first impression, was that you sort of like it. So he gets mixed signals. Now, that's not the full extent of what's going on here, but I just wanted to point that out to you, how confusing that could be to an animal if you want them to change, but secretly you're harboring amusement or some kind of pleasure over these so-called bad behaviors, right?
Well, it's really hard when they're so small and cute, and then they freak out, and you can't help but to laugh. You know, it's like,
right.
I know it's like demeaning, you know, but it's like...
I get that a lot.
Yeah, it's still kind of cute when they do it, you know. But, yeah, so, I mean, let's hop into this. I'm not even entirely sure how to start this conversation, because really this is your part of the show where you treat me as a client. What's wrong with my dog, Crystal?
Well, I know you get a lot of mileage out of asking what's wrong with your dog. So,
yeah, I do. Although I am terrified that you're going to tell me I'm what's wrong.
There with yourselves, yeah. Okay, so the way that I do it, and this isn't necessarily how all animal psychics do it, is I work, as you know, from a photograph. Some people prefer to work in person. I find there's too many distractions between the human and the animal that way. So I work from a photograph, and then I find out what the pet owner wants me to ask about or issues to work on, and then I do it remotely. And later we can talk about what I think is going on there, why it works at a distance or not, but okay. That'll be up to you. So with Iggy, however, you said, you know, oh, he's aggressive, and especially toward males. So someone's assumption might be, in that case, and it would be a very fair, logical assumption, is that, oh, maybe before you got him, he was abused by men or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's how most people would assume. But I like to go in just with a sort of a blank slate, and I just ask the animal the questions that the people are interested in finding out about, and that turns out to be sometimes more like a therapy session because I have a counseling background, but it's definitely a full-length conversation. I've sent you the transcript. You can read it later.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
More details of what I've said. But essentially what he said was that he's in most of his past lives, he's been a big dog. He's been more like a hunting dog, for example. He showed me an image of, like, it was either a wolfhound or a deerhound, I'm not sure, but one of those really, really large dogs. And also himself as a hound, like, hunting with, like, British aristocracy and things like that. Mm. And in those environments, small dogs have usually been made fun of. Look at those useless lap dogs just sitting in the house with the ladies, for example. That's one of the things he said that he's heard someone say at some point. I don't know what everyone's beliefs are about reincarnation and what happens between lives and that sort of thing. But so I'm just going to operate from my knowledge that I have of it.
Of course.
Hasn't come back to Earth for quite a while, and he hasn't been a family dog. He's always been a working dog, like a hunting dog or something like that. So he wanted this time to come back, and he wanted to have a relaxed life, and the handlers up there, which dogs like people have people in between who help them choose what their next life is going to be, told him, oh, yeah, we know this perfect scenario. We're going to throw you in here, right, and you're going to have, like, this pampered vacation life. And that's what he wanted because he'd been a working dog. He didn't realize he was going to be a small dog, and he himself has biases against being a small dog, and this is part of his issue. So this is mainly where this comes from. So then I talked to him quite a bit about that. I don't know that you want me to go into the whole conversation because it's a four-page single-space transcript, but it's not at all what I expected. But it's because he's having trouble relating to the modern-day dog as family member instead of when he's been here before. Dogs were always tools, just tools, and they served like a working function. And so he comes and he one thing he didn't like was that you guys felt like, you know, you were obligated or even that you want to protect him. He feels like the dog is supposed to be the protector. He's not supposed to be protected. So it's a lot of this insecurity. So that's really the basis of his conflict with men, is his own insecurity about feeling like he's not living up to what dog is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, earlier you had said that you had sent the email, and I threw out there that I hadn't read it yet, and I thought maybe the audience might take that as, like, I didn't take the time to read it. But Crystal and I had a discussion that I wasn't going to read the email until after the radio show so that basically I could be learning about this on the show. And,
yeah.
you know, I know this sounds ridiculous. I, as I'm sure you guessed, like a lot of people, I'm a skeptic. I'm in between on this. I think I believe in the possibilities, but I just don't know. I'm an agnostic when it comes to this.
Okay.
But all this week, I have been so nice to my dog because I didn't want him talking smack about me to you. And I've just been all like, you know, I've been coming in with groceries and been all, get out of my way. And then I'm all, oh, it's okay. You just get out of my way. You know, and it's like, I've become like aware that my dog might, you know, be talking smack. But this is not the direction that I expected you to go in. From what you're saying, it wasn't the direction that you expected you to go.
No.
And I have to say, I bet you my wife's at home right now listening to this, holding that dog, thinking she's totally right.
I hope so.
I think she is.
You've got one chauvinist dog, Jonesy.
Well, I mean, you know, by this argument, you know, when he was on Earth before, it was a chauvinist world.
Well, yeah. Okay.
You know, he definitely likes Terry, my wife, the most, you know. He loves Terry, man. She's like, she's mama, you know.
Well, I'll stop judging your dog.
Yeah, stop
here.
Judging my dog.
Okay.
But no, I find this very interesting. You know, our guest last week was, I think it was last week. I don't know. I have a very busy life.
It was at
life,
some point.
Right. Our guest last week was a past life regressionist.
Yes.
Okay.
And really, we just recently kind of learned a lot about this, about carrying traumas from your past lives and so on and so forth. And I really didn't expect it to go that way in this conversation. So I think that it's very interesting. I was expecting to hear,
yeah,
like, you know, the sort of like, you don't pay enough attention to your dog, which is kind of true. Because I don't. I mean, I work all the time, you know, and like, you know, there have been family traumas. You know, I raised three kids in the house with this dog. They weren't always as mature as they are now. And there were problems, you know. Well, don't get me wrong. They weren't torturing him, but you know, there were altercations between children and dog, you know.
Sure.
I didn't expect this, and this is actually quite eye-opening for me. I think that this really might help us with our dog.
That's great. And what I talked to him about was I really tried to explain how sort of the paradigm is shifted. I didn't use that word paradigm with them, of course, but how, you know, the world has changed, and that now a dog's role is different. A dog's role is as part of the family and to make their family members happy, and it's a different kind of job, you know, and that sort of thing. So whereas sometimes an issue is simply they really want the pet parent to know, oh, I need a different cat litter. You know, sometimes it's really that easy, and then the problem goes away. This is like a bigger issue, but I really do think that you and your family can kind of work on reminding him of sort of what is expected, not in a scolding way, but just in a respectful way of him understanding that there's a different mindset in the world now and is coming in as a dog. Now, like, there are different things expected and all that. I think that you could really experience some change working with him, understanding what the underlying issue is.
Right.
So.
Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest animal psychic, Crystal Hope Reed.
And we will be back in just a few minutes.
Blazing on the sunny afternoon, and I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
And the living is easy.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are talking about animal psychicry. I'm not sure if that's a word, with our guest animal psychic, Crystal Hope Reed. Crystal, we were having a bit of a discussion during the break about different types of animals. You know, during our introduction, I was asking Sean. Sean hasn't really said much through here, but this is my co-host, Sean. Say something, Sean.
Hello. That's yes, Sean. I exist.
And he had a...
I'm the one who insulted Chauncey's dog.
Right. He had a hamster when he was younger. And okay. And then during our break, our producer was asking, you know, well, what about a, you know, she lives down there where stuff's happening, you know, what about a dolphin? So I guess my question to you is, what kind of animals have you had a chance to do this with?
Well, professionally, I get mostly dogs, cats, horses, and ferrets.
Ferrets? Aren't those illegal in California?
But I can work remotely.
Oh, right.
First
right.
of all, I'm not going to say where all the ferrets are, I can work remotely, remember? So I work actually all over the country.
Right.
I've had a few clients overseas. As long as they speak English, I can work with them. Mm-hmm. Just walking around, squirrels, birds, lizards, that sort of thing, you know, you can talk to them, too. I've done a couple iguanas.
Okay, this prompts this prompts a serious question. No, okay. I'm serious. This prompts a serious question. You know, basically, in one's brain structure, we have these general terms of having the reptilian, the mammalian, and then the human brain. And these are the layers of the brain as it builds out. So when you communicate with a mammal as opposed to a lizard, do you find that you're getting something different? I don't even know how to ask the question, but...
No, I totally understand what you're asking. Okay, so the most sort of what I would call prehistoric-brained animal that I've ever come across is an ostrich. I feel like ostriches don't really communicate very well.
They are what's left of the dinosaurs.
They're basically velociraptors.
Yeah. I've never tried communicating with an alligator. Maybe I'd get the same thing there. But an iguana, that's a pet, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's very much immersed in the human world. And therefore, it's able to discuss things with me, even if it needs to use pictures, thoughts, feelings, right, about the human world, about its surroundings, because that's where it's living.
I see.
Now, trying to think with lizards and such, I haven't gotten so much a really a deep philosophical or emotional conversation. It is more a little bit on a survival level, a little bit more on a functional, pragmatic level.
Mm-hmm.
But they can still do this. They can still totally communicate with us what's going on with them, what's wrong, you know, what they would prefer over other things and that sort of stuff. I've never communicated with a dolphin, actually, but there are lots of animal communicators out there who take trips regularly to places where they can interact with dolphins because they're just so fascinated with that, and even with whales, and they're supposedly very, very intelligent and very sophisticated, very spiritual. But that's, I mean, you can look that up on the internet or get books or whatever. There's people who write whole books about talking to dolphins and things like that. Dogs and cats, I would say with us, they're pretty sophisticated. They're like talking, at the very least, to maybe an elementary school age child. So, for example, they're not up on politics. They don't care how the Kardashians are doing, you know. Although maybe elementary school kids do, I don't know. But
yeah, I think that's to their credit, actually, in terms of intelligence.
Who's the better species?
Yeah, but okay, so that wasn't a particularly good example. But, you know, they're focused on what their life experience is, lives, I should say, because they're often aware, sometimes, I should say, sometimes aware of their past lives. Sometimes they're not, like humans. But... Yeah, I mean with dogs, horses are great. Yeah, the level of like emotion and sophistication is pretty impressive, actually.
So I always hear that, you know, when you talk to people, they always say, "Oh, dogs are smarter than cats." Well,
we're going to settle this now.
Well, I don't know if we are. You know, my argument always is that, you know, a cat is a solitary hunter. It's not really a communal animal like a dog is. And so we're communal animals. So we put intelligence on a dog that we don't put on a cat because we don't understand the cat's intelligence. That's my argument.
Right. I like that. I like that explanation. And also, you know, there's the thing, dogs have owners and cats have staff, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that they're any less intelligent by any means. It's just
my
they
dad
don't
would
necessarily
have loved that.
Care to cooperate and participate in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and then I didn't really grow up with horses or having anything to do with them. Frankly, they terrify me. Their teeth are like the size of Pop-Tarts. It's freaking, you know. But my daughter is, she's into Gymkhana and barrel racing, and she loves horses.
Nice.
And with her mom, you know, her mom lives on a ranch and teaches her all this stuff. Her mom grew up barrel racing. So she definitely has this great love for horses. And so I've started to learn through them that horses on an intelligence level are kind of like a big dog, only with less potential for aggressiveness, it kind of seems. So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, do you have an animal that really kind of blew you away? And it doesn't have to be a specific type of animal, maybe the specific animal that really kind of blew you away, that when you communicated with it, you were like, this animal's got this figured out.
Well, there have been, I can think of two different dogs, in the beginning I mentioned that sometimes I'm actually like laughing out loud as I'm hearing what the animal's saying because they're so sophisticated
mm-hmm.
in their ideas and their language. And I've had two different dogs like that and a couple different horses. But in terms of blowing me away, I would say what has caught me more off guard is how I'm never ready for the story that they're telling, you know? Like, I was working with one dog, and the owner, the issue was like, oh, she's just lethargic, like, she doesn't react, you know, she's just sort of, like, stuck or whatever, and so I talked to her, and again, you know, as coming from a society that's largely behaviorist, you know, it's like, oh, there must have been some trauma in this current life or whatever that's got this dog anxious, but no, what she said is that she used to be a cow. All her life, she'd been a cow. And, you know, they stand out in the field, and in modern world, cow life isn't quite that pastoral. But, right. you know, it was there was, and she'd always wanted to be a dog because the dogs got to go in the house, and the dog got to go in the car and had all this interaction with the people, and she thought, next time, I'm going to be a dog. And so this time she's a dog, and she's totally overwhelmed. And what she said was, being a dog is a lot of responsibility. You don't understand. And that was a phrase I wasn't ready to hear because, you know, we think of like, oh, we just have these animals and we take care of them. And, you know, if we're good to them, their life is so great and everything. But I guess going from cow to dog, there's so much, we have so much expectation on our animals sort of being in tune and reacting a certain way to us all the time. She was totally overwhelmed to the point that she was, like, almost immobile.
That's amazing.
And she said, I'll never be a dog again.
Yeah, that makes, I mean, that makes sense, you know, because you see people, one person lives one life, and another one lives just like in the, and one is totally overwhelmed with their life, and the other is not, and it's really relative to where they're coming from
yeah.
and how they feel, you know.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, this really just flew by. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the end of the show here. How can people find out more about you?
Well, my website is crystalhopereed.com,
mm-hmm.
or I'm Animal Psychic on Twitter. I'm really quick on email, so if anybody wants to send me an email and ask any more questions, then the website or Twitter is probably a good way, or I'm Crystal Hope Reed on Facebook also. So just look for my name basically anywhere.
And and where would they find out more about your book? Because I thought that was very interesting as well.
Okay, that is also on my website, or it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's Books, pretty much all the online retailers.
And
it's
the title?
How to Live with a Psychic. Yeah.
How to Live with a Psychic. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show. We've had a lot of fun. We very much enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting home and discussing with my wife what we learned about my dog. I really am. And if we were laughing and having fun, it was in no way at your expense. It's just that we enjoy our pets as much as anybody else, and they make us happy, and we have fun.
I totally get it. Thank you, Chauncey and Sean, for having me on today.
No problem. You have been listening to Crystal Hope Reed, Animal Psychic, on Radio Wasteland. Check us out next week.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Senate is back in town and trying again to reach a deal on health care.
Just back from a week-long break, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the Senate floor to say more federal control of health care is not the solution.
We won't solve this problem by simply throwing more money at it. Band-aids just won't work here.
Minority Leader Charles Schumer says here's what won't work, an amendment by conservative Republican Ted Cruz, which he says comes with little hope for coverage of pre-existing conditions or any of the other provisions the American people want.
The Cruz amendment is a cruel, mean hoax.
An attempt to pass a health care bill last month was derailed when many members of the GOP caucus said they could not support it.